This is Here's How, Ireland's political, social and current affairs podcast, presented by William Campbell.
Hey, I'm back. Thank you for downloading episode 68 of Here's How. Regulators for various industries, especially the former government monopolies, have sprung up in recent years. Their purpose is supposedly to protect customers, but how well do they do that? Let's hear.
Here's How is Ireland's political, social and current affairs podcast. Make your view heard. Just dial 076 603 5060 and tell the world what you're thinking. Your voicemail may be included in the next podcast. You can find tips on recording your contribution and other ways to contact the show at hereshow.ie/call.
On the line now, I have the Director of Retail and Customer Services at Comreg. That's Barbara Delaney. Thank you for joining me, Barbara. I'm sure you're aware of it, but just for the listeners, there's a theory of regulatory capture developed by the Nobel Prize-winning economist Joyce Siegler, and he talks about a government failure when a regulatory agency created to act in the public interest instead advocates the concerns of a special interest group. And I'm sure that's important to Comreg. What does Comreg do to make sure that it's independent of the people it's regulating?
Okay. Well, I suppose in the consumer context, which is the context that I will speak about, Comreg obviously has other regulatory functions, including competition. But in the consumer mandate, I suppose just to say that our rules are set and come from a European context, and they're transposed here into our Irish context. We set out our strategy very clearly. And you will see from the Comreg documentation, from the strategy for consumers, we are very much keen on ensuring that consumer rights are upheld by the service providers in the Irish market. And in that context, we are carrying out a number of different, I suppose, policies. One relates to how we look and enforce compliance. Another looks at how we ensure that consumers have effective redress mechanisms when things go wrong and they can't deal with it effectively themselves. And the third kind of strand to that is to introduce particular policies or approaches where we feel that the rules are not strong enough to protect the consumers.
Okay, I suppose one case where I'm sure you'd agree the telecom company in question didn't follow the rules was the company called Eutel. This is a German-based company, and they were convicted last December of charging hundreds of customers for services that they didn't actually supply. How did you feel about the outcome of that case?
Well, I suppose just to say that that we had a number of cases ongoing with Eutel, and we still have another case coming up within the coming months. So I suppose Eutel is an example where we had many consumer complaints.
Sure. Maybe just I could give a brief thing for the listeners. Eutel had about 5,000 Irish customers. It seems like they targeted elderly Irish people with high pressure telephone sales tactics. And they said that they would take over the calls. And the proposal was what's called CPS, carrier pre-select, that somebody would keep paying their line rental to air, but that they would pay for telephone calls to Eutel. In fact, Eutel did nothing. They just took the money.
Yeah, just to say, obviously, this you're talking about the case that we took before Christmas in December of 2017.
Correct, yeah.
In this particular case, yes, there were hundreds of customers in the region of 800 customers who would have been paying Eutel for a service that they didn't receive. And you're correct, it would have been in respect of calls where the line rental was with air in that case. Mm-hmm. So in that particular case...
Were you happy with the outcome?
I suppose we were happy from the perspective that the case we took was upheld. Eutel pleaded guilty to the case, to the convictions. We got a number of convictions for Eutel, and they received a fine on the day. One of the questions that is important to ask is, in the context of the European framework, the rules that are available to ComReg for enforcing penalties and possibly fines or whatever has to come out, they are supposed to be dissuasive. So a question, I suppose, asked would be, was the...
was it dissuasive?
Was the penalty imposed dissuasive? I suppose in the context of a smaller operator like Yourtel, one would hope that we wouldn't see that practice again based on the fine.
Just to give people the figures on this, Yourtel had about 5,000 Irish customers, and they were charging them what they called packages of something between 11 and 23 euro a month. They were charged with not providing the service that they were charging for in 880 cases, but only 88 sample cases went ahead, 10% of them. And there was a maximum fine allowable of 5,000 euro, but in fact they got 750 euro fine for each of those 88 cases, which is 66,000 euro in total. But if you look at...
That's correct.
Yeah, if you look at the revenue, just the customer numbers and what they were charging, that's about 1 month's revenue for Yourtel. From looking at that, it seems like crime pays.
Well, I suppose one thing that may not be exactly known in that case was that on the day in court, Yourtel said that they would or had paid back all the money that was owed. So from the perspective of whether consumers got their money back, that was something that was agreed.
All the money they had owed to the 88 or the 880 or the 5,000?
Yes, in terms of all the wider group of customers. So,
Yourtel was also using incredibly aggressive tactics against elderly people as old as in their 90s. They were being threatened with debt collectors, had debt collectors knocking on their door when they didn't pay a bill it was a bill for something that in fact they hadn't received.
That's correct. I mean, the facts in a number of these customer cases were very difficult. It was a very, very difficult situation for customers. In fact, many customers who rang us, ComReg, making complaints and so on, were very upset by the whole process. They were very afraid. They didn't know what was going to happen or what the outcome was going to be from their perspective. You're right, they got debt collectors' letters and so on.
You see how somebody coming to that and seeing a 66,000 euro fine, where they had collected certainly several million euro in fees, you can see how somebody looking at that sees that, you know, they probably did fairly well out of that. They could well be looking at that as just the cost of doing business.
I suppose that people can take that conclusion. It's a well-known fact that we have looked for more substantial powers. We are working within the powers we have, and I think we have made submissions to extend the powers we have so that when we do take cases...
So you've asked the government to have more powers?
We have, yes.
One other thing on that, Barbara, looking online, there's reams, particularly on boards.ie, there's reams of people saying that, you know, essentially their parents or their elderly people they knew had been essentially conned by these people and had, in most cases, had paid up because they were afraid, because they were too old and too basically didn't have the mental energy to fight them. And a common theme running through all of that was that the Gardaí were refusing to investigate that for fraud and said they were just passing it off to ComReg. Did you ask or would you ask the Gardaí to investigate that as fraud?
Just in terms of, I suppose there's a number of different cases going on with Yourtel, so I understand there's a lot of different commentary and so on, but within the particular cases... In the respect of the case that we took a criminal prosecution, and that's what it amounted to, a criminal offence. We took that. I think the issue really is, given the scale of what went on, did the punishment fit the crime? And that is a question. And I suppose, as I've said to you, we feel that we certainly would benefit, and the consumers would benefit from ComReg having better powers in this space.
Okay, I think that's an answer. To move on to another area, you are responsible for regulating or COMREG is for regulating premium rate numbers. And these are, well, actually, I'll ask you, how do you define a premium rate number?
Okay, so I suppose just in terms of premium rate, generally premium rate are numbers that start either a short code, commence a five-digit short code starting with 58 or 59, mm-hmm. or from a landline, it's starting with 1580. Now, there.
But specifically, how do you define them?
Do you mean in the range, or do you mean in the content? Or sorry, I just there's a difference in those numbers. So purely a premium rate service, and I'm not sure if this is what you're asking me about, but a premium rate service generally delivers some kind of content to the user, as opposed to the customer ringing somebody else. So a premium rate service, for example, I might be ringing somebody up to vote on my favourite TV show that has a competition. That could be a premium rate service. I'm texting a reality TV show to keep somebody in that I want kept in. That's a premium rate service. I could be subscribing to updates on football or and getting.
I understand. No, I'm not looking for. I'm not looking for examples really. And just well, I'll read it out to you. The Wikipedia definition. I'll see if you agree with it. The Wikipedia definition is premium rate telephone numbers are telephone numbers for calls which certain services are provided and which prices are higher than normal. And unlike a normal call, part of the call charge is paid to the service provider, thus enabling businesses to be funded via the calls. Would you accept that definition?
No, because there are two types of those services. So one type is with respect to what we call premium rate. And the definition is fine, but COMREG has to work within the legal definitions. Mm-hmm. So a premium rate service in Ireland is slightly different to
another. Well, that's what I'm looking for. What's the legal definition as you see it?
So I've explained to you already that a premium rate service is generally delivering content or allowing you to pay for something or carry out some other kind of thing rather than just communicating. There's a separate cohort of services then, which are...
Now, maybe it's because I'm out of practice here and I don't usually break into interviews, but I just want to note that I really missed what Barbara Delaney was saying. It's basically the Nixon defense. When Richard Nixon was accused of crimes, he said that when the president does something, that means it's not against the law. Ryanair and Sky and all these companies are prohibited by European law from using premium rate numbers for their customer service lines. Barbara Delaney is saying that the fact that the numbers cost a fortune to call doesn't matter. The fact that the companies make money from the calls doesn't matter. But when Ryanair use one of these numbers, that makes it not a premium rate line.
...kind of thing rather than just communicating. There's a separate cohort of services then, which are non-geographic services, which I think you might be alluding to.
Well, let me give an example in that case, because I'm looking at the 2011 directive on consumer rights from the EU. And to quote that precisely, it says member states shall ensure that where the trader, so let's say somebody in business, operates a telephone line for the purpose of contacting him, the trader, by telephone in relation to the contract concluded, the customer, when contacting the trader, is not bound to pay more than the basic rate. So basically what that's saying is that if I sell something online or over the phone or whatever, if somebody has a problem with that and they need to ring up customer services, they shouldn't be hit with an excessive charge. They should be paying for a normal telephone call when they ring in. And it seems to me that 0818 numbers in particular are problematic for this. And people, usually quite aggressive companies who are quite aggressive in dealing with their customers, such as Ryanair, such as Sky Television, block their customers from accessing them through anything other than an 0818 line. Are you sure that's legal under EU law?
Okay, so I suppose I have to answer you with respect to our remit. So mm-hmm. if you talk about the electronic communications providers, we take that first of all.
Specifically, Ryanair have had terrible customer services problems.
We don't regulate Ryanair, so I wouldn't be able to comment on their
practices.
No,
but you regulate the telephone services they use.
No, we don't. We regulate the people who offer the telecommunication services. So if you take, for example, the people who are operating in the Irish market for telephone services, be it mobile operators or fixed operators or broadband, they must offer, and we've introduced a code of practice in respect of this that was effective 1st of January this year, they must offer a free phone, actually, a way of contacting them with regard to a complaint.
Who is this?
So you're right. Sorry, the electronic communications providers that we regulate.
Okay. So that's to say people who are selling services where the telephone call or the SMS is the service, maybe voting on a reality show or something like that. Let me give a little background on this. 0818 numbers are incredibly expensive to ring. I'm looking at some of the prices here on Three. On their website, they quote a cost of 35 cents per minute to ring an 0818 number. The 48 months mobile company charged 50 cents per minute to call that number. And that's what you have to pay if you want to get through to Ryanair. Michael O'Leary is basically betting that most people only have 10 or 20 euros credit on their phone at any one time. They put you on hold for 20 minutes, they've burnt all your credit and you don't get through. That's entirely against that Consumer Protection Directive, isn't it?
I'm sorry for this, but I can't comment on that because that is a matter for the people who are regulating that aspect, which would be the CCPC. So, for example, in terms of that directive and whether a company like Ryanair has to offer you a free charge number or whatever, or a number included in your bill. What I will say is you're right to the extent that what Comreg is doing in this space is there is a lot of consumer confusion and shock, bill shock, arriving when they dial these numbers because they don't. Consumers might know what the cost is. They might actually believe that they're included in their bundle, and they mightn't understand that. The minute I ring this, I'm going to lose all my credit or so on.
Yeah.
So what we have done is we've introduced a consultation.
But why does an 0818 number exist? Why does that code exist? That seems like a way of disguising what is in reality a premium rate number as though it's meant to kind of sound a little bit like a 1-800 number or a number that would be either free or very cheap to call.
I suppose these numbers have existed for a number of years now, and they are historic. They existed before bundles even came into practice. So I suppose it's a historic situation. It has been the same in a lot of European countries. The historic numbers 1850, 1890, shared costs, and so on. They have existed historically.
But the 0818 number did not exist historically. And I just want to go back to the EU document, and it says guidance on this. It says to comply with the basic rate requirement. That's to say that you should be able to get through to Ryanair or Sky or whatever with a basic rate telephone call. To comply with the basic rate requirement, traders should use telephone numbers such as standard geographic or mobile numbers that are not subject to any special tariff regime. Traders should in particular avoid using those telephone numbers that enable them to finance or contribute to the cost of call centres or draw additional revenues from those telephone calls through revenue sharing with telecom operators. And I just want to contrast that with, I've got the telephone company TSG, it's called Telecom Solutions Group. This is an Irish company. And they're advertising to businesses in order to encourage them to buy 0818 numbers from them. And they, on their webpage, they have five bullet points of advantages of a business getting an 0818 number. And the first bullet point, it says in five words, earn money from your calls. That to me seems clearly against EU law on that. And it seems to me that Comreg is facilitating that and creating what you call bill shock, that people are being tricked into calling wildly expensive telephone numbers, and people are being prevented from getting through when they have a grievance, as you might well have with Ryanair. When they have a grievance, they're being prevented from getting through.
Okay, well, I have to take you up on that, because first of all, as I've said on numerous occasions on this interview, we don't regulate people like Ryanair and so on. So whether they are in compliance with their with the EU law on this is not a matter for us. But what I will say again is that electronic communications providers do have to provide a number that people can complain on.
Barbara, one thing here. You're most definitely, by allowing this, essentially a scam number, by allowing this to exist and people to be charged huge amounts of money for it, you are enabling and indeed encouraging people to breach the law.
That is absolutely incorrect. By allowing a number, that number or those numbers can have other purposes. Whether they are allowed under that provision for people to complain is a different matter. So these numbers can be used for various different purposes. They can be used for lines, for other lines that provide a particular service, which is a service that is cost, that is to be costed. So
Shouldn't all premium rate numbers follow that pattern? Almost all of them start with this 15, 30, 15, 40, 15, 50, depending, each of them getting more expensive as the costs go up. Why is that 0818 number?
Yes.
That's clearly a premium rate number. No reasonable person could say that when the person taking the call is being paid by the telephone company to take the call, and when it costs that much, nobody could reasonably deny that that's a premium rate number.
Sorry, in the definition of that it's above the standard rate or the basic rate of a call, absolutely, you're correct.
That Ryanair are being paid money when you call that.
I'm sorry, William, I have to pull you up again. We don't regulate that that entity, and I cannot comment on what you're being charged.
But you regulate the Telecom Solutions Group.
I'm sorry, just in terms of provision of those numbers, just to get back to it, what we have done is we have started a process. Well, actually, the first phase of it is complete now. We have all the submissions in. So we have started a process whereby it's a two-step process. One is that just in terms of those numbers, that we feel that they're not sufficiently transparent and people aren't aware of what costs they may have to pay. So our first proposal is to retain the 1-800 free numbers. Mm-hmm. And then the idea is that all the other numbers, and these are non-geographic numbers we're talking about. We're not talking about, in the clear definition of premium rate, we're talking about non-geographic numbers. Mm-hmm. The idea is that the 1850, the 1890, and the 818, and the 0876, our proposal would be that they would all be linked to the same price of a geographic number. Mm-hmm. So that would mean that if I, in my bundle...
So you'd be paying the same as you were dialing if you were dialing an 01 number or an 021 number for
That's
Cork
correct.
Or whatever? Okay.
That's correct.
Which would defeat its point.
Well, the idea would be that going forward, they would be part of a bundle if you have it in your bundle, and it would remove any doubt from customers as to what they're going to be paying and so on. The separate matter that you have been talking about in respect of complying with EU law, that is a separate matter.
Barbara Delaney, the Director of Retail and Customer Services at Comreg, thank you very much for talking to me.
No problem. Thank you.
Never miss a show. Follow at Here's How Podcast on Twitter and like Here's How on Facebook for updates on each show's contents.
And that's about the end of episode 68 of Here's How, Ireland's political, social and current affairs podcast, published on the 6th of February 2018. I have links and references for everything in the podcast in the show notes on the website. If you can think of a topic that should be covered in a future show or you want to suggest someone to include, that might be yourself, then let me know. And if you like the podcast, please go on iTunes and give it a rating or even write a nice review. Also, please like the show on Facebook. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Here's How Podcast and subscribe to the podcast so new shows automatically come up in your podcast feed. You can use iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio or any other podcast app or software. And you can subscribe by email now as well. Just go to the website and fill in your email address. There will be no spam, I promise. There's full information about all of that and contact details for the show. It's all at www.hereshow.ie. The Here's How podcast is produced and presented by me, William Campbell. Thank you for listening.